Making the world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right. Welcome to a brand new week of the George Wilder Jr. Show. On Block Talk Radio, broadcasting straight up out of the city of Chicago on the north side near the lake. It is beautiful, folks. It's summer. They're talking about 87 tomorrow. See what I told you? If you were listening to the show last week, you would heard me say that in Chicago, it goes from one extreme to the other. It goes from winter to summer because we didn't have a spring, in my judgment. In my view, we did not have a spring in the city of Chicago. It's going to be 87 goddamn degrees tomorrow. Maybe 90. God damn it. That's too hot, at least in the city of Chicago. You know, when it gets that hot, 87, 90 degrees, the best place for you is in the house. You know, because the sun is beaming down, it's burning you. I mean, you could cook a egg or bacon on the sidewalk. It's too hot. It's humid. You know, you can't breathe. If you got congestion problems or respiratory problems, if you're older, it's not good. It's not good for anybody to exhaust themselves in so much heat. So it's kind of a bummer if you think about it. I mean, I can dealt with 75 or 80, but when you're talking about 87, 90, 95, that's kind of extreme, don't you think? All right, 347-857-1762. The George Wilder Jr. Show is on the air. And my guest today is Crystal Olivieri, something of that sense. Okay, if I've screwed up her name and I got a feeling that I just did, I apologize. But anyway, it is very, 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 it's going to be one of those days where, you know, it's going to be hot in the city of Chicago. It's going to be a really hot day tomorrow. At least that's what these guys and girls are saying who call themselves meteorologists, you know. So, hey, but it could happen. I mean, in the last few years, it's been going from one extreme to the next, with bypassing spring and just summer altogether. Which doesn't make sense, but I think we've got it. And then it's going to be in the 80s for two, maybe 3 days. Then it's going to drop back down into the 60s. But, you know, the weather in the city of Chicago changes like a hat. Someone could say it's going to be 97 tomorrow, and then it winds up being 27. It's just that extremes in some cases. But we're here, and we can just hope for the best. And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Like I just said, it's a new week. I mean, we're starting a new week. This is Monday, and it's Monday, and we're on from, at least I am on, from Monday through Thursday, starting at 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., sometimes longer, depends on what's going on, and it could be a lot of things going on, you know. And All right, a lot of people are talking about Trump, of course. I mean, the guy damn near incriminated himself when he did this interview with Lester Holt last week. I mean, he and he incriminated himself when he tweeted that there were tapes of him and James Comey's conversation. Now, the Republicans in Congress and other and in other places, they want those tapes if there were any. But you know what? I think there are tapes because I actually think there are some tapes. I think they were recorded. And I think Trump is recording a lot of things in the Oval Office. You know why? Because no one denied that there were not any tapes. So if someone doesn't deny that there is something that they say is there, then it's there. Sean Spicer, the press secretary, Donald Trump's press secretary was asked 1,000 times and he just danced around the question as they always do. Nobody's saying anything. I mean, if you're not saying anything about tapes being in the White House and you know that they are there, then you're involved. You are an accomplice. You're aiding and abetting. They don't know that they're putting their own careers on the line here by not saying nothing or being quiet. Either there's tapes or there's no tapes. And if you've seen the tweet, Donald Trump threatening Comey. I mean, how do you threaten somebody in a tweet? But he found a way to do it. He found a way to threaten this guy in a goddamn tweet. James Comey, you better hope there's no tapes of this conversation that you leaked to the press. That's an outright threat. You better hope that there's as if something's going to happen. Donald Trump is going to do something to him. Donald Trump cannot do anything to him. He's fired. He's free. He's a free agent. Donald Trump make these veiled threats and their threats. Everybody in the world know that this was a threat that he tweeted to James Comey. And now he's trying to back off of it and his minions and his but the people who work for him in the White House are going around saying that it wasn't a threat. That's a straight up threat. I agree with some of the Republicans. Donald Trump should stop tweeting. He should stop tweeting and he should stop giving interviews because he just incriminates himself every time. I mean, in this interview with Lester Holt last week, he basically said, "I obstructed justice. I obstructed the justice office. I interfered with an investigation." That's what he basically said. And now he's telling people that they have tapes threatening Comey. How can you threaten somebody after they have been fired? You have no right. You can't do anything to Comey. Man, this Donald Trump is something else. He's just like they've been saying for a long time, even before he got in the White House, Donald Trump is a carnival man. He's a clown. He's a TV guy. He's not a president, you know, and he's been obstructing justice, but now he done put his foot in his mouth about tapes. If you saw the tweets that the word tapes were in quotes, as if somebody said tapes. I don't even think Donald Trump knows what a damn quote means, but it was in quotes. And I don't know, man, this guy, I don't think he's going to, he's thinking about re-election. I don't think if he gets a year in office, I'd be surprised. Because so many people now are finding a way to connect this to Watergate. Then you got some people calling Donald Trump the dumbest president in U.S. history. You got some people calling him the most corrupt president in U.S. history. And it's some validation there. It's some validity there. Totally, totally. It's something that is valid, in my opinion. I think if they find out, if it's found out that this investigation go through, and it's found out that Trump colluded with Russia to screw with the 2016 election. Trump should be thrown out of office quickly. He should be thrown out immediately. And another thing, I don't think Pence should become president if Trump is impeached. I think Hillary should be president if Trump is impeached, because she's the one that allegedly he colluded with the Russians and it caused her to lose the election, the electoral vote. She won the popular vote. She just lost the electoral vote. So it's always something in the Trump White House. I mean, it's always something. I mean, each and every day I'm hearing that Trump is going to be firing a lot of the people around him in the White House because he's failing as president. He's looking bad and he's blaming them. He's not blaming himself. That's one of the things that Trump doesn't do. Trump does not. If something goes going wrong with the administration, he's going to look around at the people around him and blame them. He's not going to put the blame on himself. That ain't going to happen. Trump said, no, 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 I'm not screwing this up. You guys are being paid to make me look good. I look bad. Then you're not doing your jobs. That's how Trump sees it. That's how he sees it. Because Donald Trump is Donald Trump. I mean, he's a dictator. He's a king. He wants to be an emperor. He wants people to kiss his feet and kiss his ass. I mean, he's got to have that. Or if they don't do that, he's going to fire them. That's Donald Trump. That's Donald Trump. And like I said to you folks, if Donald Trump does a year in office, I'd be surprised. I would really be surprised. And anyway, I want to say this again. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. This is the start of the week, the second week of May. Yeah, May 2017, of course, the second week. And it's been a busy week for me. It really has. It's always a busy week for me. It's a lot of work. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it. The radio show is a lot of work, but I enjoy it. I mean, I basically do everything myself, because why would I hire somebody to do things that I can do? And I enjoy it. I love wearing a lot of hats when it comes to the radio show and when it comes to, you know, writing. I love to wear a lot of hats. I like it. It's a thrill to me to know that I can do a lot of things myself and it saves a lot of money. You know, it saves a lot of money when you can do things yourself. So, everything I do, my books, my stories, my books, I edit them, I draft them, I write them, of course. And I don't go out and hire an editor to write or to edit my work. I don't go out and hire. I edit my own material, because I've known writers who have hired editors to edit their manuscripts, and you know, it end up being worse than it was when they handed over their manuscript to these scammers, I call them. I mean, let's put it this way. People love to write. They love it. Even if they don't make much money from it, they love writing. And they do it. Some of them don't even do it. Some do it because they just, like I just said, they love doing it. There is money to be made as a writer. But then you got a lot of writers out here who aren't making a cent from what they do, but they still love what they do. And they hope one day that they can actually make a living at the craft of writing. But then you got a lot of scammers out there. You got a lot of people out there claiming that they're this and they're that. And these people also know that writers want to be discovered. Writers want to be great writers. Writers want material. Writers want people to go out and purchase what they've done. And you get a lot of people out there who know that. And they come running. You know, they come running. How much is going to cost you for them to do this and do that for your book when you can do it yourself? You don't even need if you're looking for audio for your book, do your own audio. Read your own book. Turn it into an audio book yourself. You don't need to go out and hire somebody to turn your book into audio to read your book, to narrate your book, when you can do it. Because there, in some cases, if you hire somebody to narrate your book and turn your book into an audio book, you'll be paying that person forever. Because every time your book sells, you would have to give a third of it or half of it to the person who narrated that book. That's what I found out, and that's a bunch of crock. So you can always narrate your own book. If you want your book to have audio where people can download your book and listen to you read your own book, that's what it's about. You reading your own book instead of hiring somebody to read your book who's going to be charging you every time someone reads your book. It's a mess out there. It's a mess out there. Everybody's out there looking for money. It's all about getting in your pockets, making you pay. That's it. That's all it's about. So that's why I do a lot of things myself. I know there's a lot of people out there who aren't able to wear all the hats that I wear, but you have to have some common sense. If you want to save some money, you don't have money, you got to do this and do that. You find out if you can do things yourself. And if you don't know how to do a lot of things, learn. It'll save you money. Learn. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. And we're going to do this. All right.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Donald Trump has declared war on the legal system, moved to overrule the spirit of the Constitution, and enacted a coup against the ideals of the United States of America. And at this hour, one of two things is already and irretrievably underway, either the end of Trump or the end of American democracy, because both cannot continue, because simply, you cannot fire the man who is investigating. It is axiomatic, it is simple, it is eternal, it is proven. You cannot fire the man who is investigating you. Even the dumb people will understand what you are trying to get away with. No matter what excuse you provide, no matter who you get to agree with you, no matter what you think it will accomplish for you, no matter what you think it will protect you from, no matter if you are the president of the United States and the man you have fired might be guilty of something, you cannot fire the man who is investigating you. To do so is to inherit the wind.
Oh, my God.
To do so is to immediately and irreversibly take whatever problems you face, whatever investigations you have to suffer, whatever crimes you may or may not have already committed, and to magnify and multiply them by a number so large it almost cannot be counted. You cannot fire the man who is investigating you. It is by itself a cover-up, not just part of an already extant cover-up, not another drop in a bucket of corruption and dishonesty. It is an entirely new bucket. Donald Trump fired the man who was investigating him. That by itself, without further explanation, without further evidence, that alone immediately is a cover-up. Donald Trump should be impeached as president today for this one act. No Russian collusion needs now to be proved. No financial records need to be assayed. No Michael Flynn, no Carter Page, no Paul Manafort, no Ambassador Kislyak, no Steele dossier, no Trump tapes, no Eric Trump tapes, no Pence tapes, no hacking, no sanity hearing, no $100 million golf course dollars from Russia.
I agree. Last minute be Comey thrown out right now.
A larger Russian totally investigation budget.
But it ain't going to happen.
You cannot
not
fire
now.
The man who was investigating you. Trump is effectively guilty today of an impeachable offense. And if enough of the Republican members of the House and Senate are anything other than political whores and the fully owned lick spittles of corporations and other special interests.
That's what they are. I'm proud to be it.
Within 2 hours of Trump's strategically inexplicable blunder, the Republican Congressman Justin Amash of Michigan tweeted, "My staff and I are reviewing legislation to establish an independent commission on Russia. The second
paragraph the Washington
of this
Post?
Letter is bizarre." Amash referred to this in Trump's dismissal notice to James Comey. "While I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation, I nevertheless concur." Bizarre is an understatement. This is suicidal. Trump simply says,
yes.
"I am not under investigation." He never mentions under investigation for what. Further, there is no evidence Comey ever told him anything of the sort, or that Comey made a distinction to him between an investigation of his campaign and of him personally.
This motherfucker, right.
James Comey testified last week that the FBI is coordinating with two prosecutors, one at the Department of Justice and one being the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, in their investigations of possible collusion between Trump's campaign team and the Russian government. The non-mainstream observer Claude Taylor had claimed there was already a Trump-Russia grand jury sitting near Washington, and CNN reported on Tuesday night that indeed there was a grand jury in Alexandria, Virginia, and that it had issued subpoenas to associates of Michael Flynn, quote, in recent weeks. It is fair to assume that some part of that news was what got James Comey fired. Whether or not his hazy grasp of reality, Trump really thought he could somehow put the Russian toothpaste back into the FBI tube. He clearly thought, CNN reported this Tuesday night, he clearly thought there would be no political blowback. Trump's ham-handed, falsely lighthearted tweets Wednesday morning about when things calm down and how Republican and Democrat alike will be thanking him confirmed this. His next round of tweets criticizing the Vietnam service controversy of a little-known senator, without remembering that that would also invoke his own 5 deferments from Vietnam, confirmed the mixture of rage and panic that had been reported earlier, that he had raged over how much television coverage Comey was getting, and that he had been screaming at television coverage of his Russian...
All righty. Thank you for that, Keith. Thanks. Thank you for that. Okay, I'm looking at something right now on Huffington Post, and hopefully this is... this is another game changer. They really ought to impeach Trump. Now, I'm just now seeing this headline. Trump, okay, this is the headline from Huffington Post. Trump reportedly revealed classified information during the meeting with Russian officials. Wow. Now, if this is true, he's out of office. Okay, Russian media, I'm stunned. Russian media was allowed last week's meeting, but American outlets were not. The Russian press was allowed into the meeting last week, but however, the American press was not, and that was wrong. That was totally wrong. I don't know. That was totally wrong to have this meeting last week with Trump and the Russians. He banned the American press and allowed the Russian press in there. Now, what the hell was that? That was stupid. I mean, now they're saying that Trump revealed classified information in that meeting. And this report come from this Huffington Post got this report from the Washington Post. So we know that the Washington Post is not fake news. And what I'm telling you now is not fake news. If you don't, you know, quite believe it, go straight to the Washington Post. And they, or you can go to, come right here where I am, Huffington Post, Monday, this Monday, May 15th. And if this is true, it's all over the damn world. Okay, President Donald Trump disclosed highly classified information during a meeting with Russian officials last week, according to the Washington Post. The revelations raise new questions about the already controversial meeting of Trump, Russian foreign minister, who is the Russian ambassador to the United States. Trump revealed information to the Russian visitors that jeopardized a critical source of intelligence on the Islamic State, the Post reported Monday, which is today, okay? Citing current and former U.S. officials' ties with the administration. The publication did not elaborate. The publication would be the Washington Post, did not elaborate on what the president's disclosure entailed due to its sensitive nature. Okay, I can see that, because classified means classified. It's secret. It's not supposed, nobody's not supposed to know any of that stuff. But Trump with his dumb ass, I mean, he just spills the beans on everything. This, if this is not, I mean, if this is not the camel breaking the popsicle sticks back, I don't know what is. Trump has done so many impeachable things. He has so many impeachable of offenses, and the Republicans in Congress are just looking the other way. I'm hearing right now that some of them are trying to distance themselves from Trump. They realize that this guy is a time bomb. And they might even realize that they have to get rid of this guy. It's not, look, listen, folks, it's not that I hate Trump or admire Trump. I'm looking at all of his missteps. There's a lot of them, and this is another one. This is the latest. Trump reportedly revealed classified information during the meeting with Russian officials. And this, and the source for this information is the Washington Post that I am observing on the on the Huffington Post, the website here. So, you know, of course I would like to verify this, and I am, I'm going to verify this information. I'm going to be digging around, see if I can find it on other outlets, other credible outlets. And Trump is always talking about fake news. The only fake news in the United States is Trump. I mean, he and his minions and his surrogates, all they do is lie. So nothing is fake but Trump and his administration. But this is damaging. Leaking classified, the president of the United States leaking classified information to the Russians? As Keith Olbermann just said, this isn't, what he done last week was impeachable. But this is like the coffin's nail shed on this one. I mean, this guy should be thrown out on his ass. He doesn't know anything about it. Donald Trump is Donald Trump, and he wants to do what he wants to do, but he can't. We're going to have to take a break, folks, because I'm going to try and dig into this a lot better, a lot more, because it's stunning. I'm just not seeing this. And it is stunning. So I'm going to do a clip right here. And let's see. Be right back. Enjoy this.
You're watching The Breakfast Club. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
That's right.
Dr. Umar Johnson.
Peace my and brother. Love. Peace. Peace and love, family. Bro? All is well. Glad good to be back.
Now, let's get right to it, man. In light of everything.
All right. Senator John McCain just saw the Washington Post. He just saw the story. And this is a quote from him. We certainly do not want any press leak classified information, but the president does have the right to do that. Oh, he does. But John McCain also told the Associated Press that Trump was within his rights to share information. But if it's classified, if true, this is a slap in the face of the intel community. Risking sources and methods is inexcusable. Particularly with the Russians. That I say the same things. This was Senator Mark Warren, Democratic, the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Obviously, they're in a down spiral right now, and they've got to figure a way out to come to grips with all of that happening. Senator Bob Corker, who chairs the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, told the reporters, therefore it's, some people say it's okay, some people say it's not. I'm one of those people who say it's not okay. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, George. This is Crystal.
Hi, Crystal. No, how do you pronounce your last name? Because I've been trying to do it and I've been screwing it up.
It's Olavaria.
Olavaria. Okay, yeah, I was totally screwing it up. Okay, so you are a career conversationalist, something to that effect.
I'm a career coach.
Okay, all right. So give us a little bio and tell us exactly what you do and all that good stuff.
Okay, I help parents who are struggling to help their children select a relevant career that fulfilling and financially rewarding.
Oh, wow. Okay. Give us an example.
Okay. Well, I've worked with several students, and a lot of times growing up, they're not sure what they want to be. And so I just start that conversation and help them start thinking about what classes do they enjoy in school and help them think about what jobs are out there. And I think that there's a lot of unhappy people out there because they just took whatever job they could get. And they never put a lot of thought to what career are they going to choose for the next 40 plus years of their life.
You are a godsend. You really are. I didn't know what we're going to talk about, or I just wanted you on the show to tell the people, my listeners, what you did and how you do it. But you are a godsend. You know what? I have a son that doesn't know what he wants to do. And I'm trying to figure out I don't want to be a patient of yours, but I might be. But
tell us a little bit about your son. Like, what's his name? How old is he?
Yeah, I am. This is important because he doesn't know what he wants to do. It seems like he's not interested in anything. He doesn't want to know. But he's very talented. He's very smart. He get A's and B's. He has a great GPA. I've been talking about this with him forever about, you know, what do you want to do when you get out of high school? What do you want to do when you get out of college? He just draws a blank. And I, throughout his life, I've been trying to introduce him to things that he could do with his life when once he's out of high school or out of college, you know, and out on his own. And I just don't know. I mean, if I say, what do you want to do with your life? You look at me. I don't know. I say all this talk I've been giving you about things that you can do with your life, and you still say you don't know. And you know what? He really does not know. I said, you better find out pretty soon, because once you get to college, they gonna want to know. And he still draws a blank on what he wants to do. And I don't want to say he's a lazy bum, but, so what do you think? My problem, right?
Well, first of all, what's the name of your son, and what grade is he in?
His name is Denver, and he is a senior in high school. But I think, awesome. I know what you might say. Well, he hasn't made up his mind yet. Well, give him some more time to think about it. You know, but this is a fast growing world, and I think he should know what he wants to accomplish in life. You know, I think he should have known when he was about 13 or 14 what he wanted to do, because there's so many kids out there who know what they want to do even at that age, and they get into it.
I actually find that a lot of kids have very little life experience. And so when you ask them, what do you want to do? They're like, well, I don't even know what job positions are out there. So it's just this whole, like, it's really hard for kids to grasp that, well, what do you want to do? Because our entire education system, if you look at it, they've always been told what to do, how to do it, when to do it. You're going to take this class at this time in your freshman year, or your sophomore year, or your junior year. You know, you're going to have this class schedule. You know, if you need to go to the bathroom, you have to ask for permission. If you want to ask a question, you have to raise your hand. So they've been very conditioned to be, like, told what to do and to wait for instructions. So that freedom to just kind of go out and just explore makes them feel really, really uncomfortable. So it's easier for child to say, I don't know, to be like, yeah, I'm totally clueless.
Yeah, I understand that. And I can imagine that does happen, because I do know that a lot of kids don't know what they want to do. You may be right. They've been conditioned in the classroom to raise their hands, and they don't know what's really out here. But I think with my situation, I talked to him every day for years about this. And some of the kids, they don't have parents to talk to them the way that I talk to my kid about life in general and what he's going to need to do once we are not together anymore. He has to find a way to support himself without me. And that's what I want. I want him to be able to fall into a career without me. And I've been talking to him forever, years, you know, about what do you want to be? What are you going to do? I have to talk like that, because I don't see anything coming out of him. I don't see him doing anything. I don't see nothing. And it worries me. I do understand what you're saying, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you suggest careers, what does he say? Does he even, like, what kind of careers are you suggesting? What does he say? Like, not for me, not interested, I'll think about it.
Oh, careers. No, he doesn't even say I think about it, because he doesn't even know. Careers like a teacher, social worker, I mean, or, you know, careers like something that's going to make him get into something that's going to be a high income kind of a job. I mean, he can go out here and do McDonald's or something, but that's not going to pay the rent. But, you know, so he really doesn't know what he wants to do. And I always tell him, if you don't know what you want to do, you're going to be a bum. I mean, you got to figure something out. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of teachers don't talk to their children the way I do. And I'm assuming some parents don't, because a lot of parents, they don't know. I think my son is blessed, because he has a father that really cares and really tries, but he has to help. He has to help. This is a fast moving world. And you gotta know what you want to do sometimes right out the gate, or you're going to get left behind. Sometimes you don't have time to think about what you're going to do. You just better know what you're going to do and start doing it, especially when he has help the help that he has here with me. Okay. His mother, you know, she puts in a few words, but I think I'm more on hands with him, and, you know, and I should be. And I want him to be something. I want him to make something of his life, but then I need to, for him to want to be something and to make something of himself after he leaves me. I don't, you know, and I don't see it.
Yeah. Your son's very fortunate to have you, that you're even having this conversation, because a lot of people don't. And a lot of times you just have to pick one thing and just let it go from there. So, for example, I worked with a student who she thought she wanted to work in the restaurant industry and thought she wanted to have her own business and, you know, helping her get a part-time job and seeing that that environment wasn't for her. And sometimes helping a kid know what they don't like excels them to figure out, I don't like this, I better choose something else. And I think sometimes kids just, they just have that. They're so used to being told what to do that it's hard to make choices and pivot. Like, where do I go from here? And she had to really start exploring different career options, saying, well, let me volunteer here, or let me get a job here, or let me do this here. And that conversation about, well, what did you learn? What do you like about it? Did you have a bad day? Let's talk about it. And she was like, I don't get along with little kids. I don't this, I don't that. And I was like, okay, great. We know it's not a good fit for you. And sometimes just letting kids vent is a good thing because at least they're getting engaged in the conversation. It's easier to direct a conversation if a kid's mad than if they're not saying anything at all. And that sounds like kind of where you're at. It's like, where's the feedback? Do you like it? You don't like it? Do we pivot? Do we change? What do we do next?
What do you do when if a child shows that they have no ambition on anything? What do you do?
That's a great question. I'd start with, what is it that they enjoy the most? If they enjoy something like playing video games all day long, which most people are like, that's totally unconstructive. Like, you know, like my kid spends hours and hours and hours of doing that. And it's like, okay, well, wait a minute. Let's step back and think about, how big is the video game industry? I mean, it's a $1 billion+ industry, and somebody's creating the video games. There's some jobs there. Let's figure out what it is that your kid enjoys and maybe help your child bridge that gap to see where are the jobs.
I've tried that. I've tried to introduce him to sports, golf. I thought he liked that. I tried baseball. I've tried football. I've tried being a teacher. I even tried helping him out. He wanted to be a comedian. I remember he stood up one day in the living room and with a mic, and I said, make me laugh. It didn't go well. And I think he can be funny. I think he can be funny, but I don't think that's his niche. You know, I think he can be funny. The people at his school might laugh at him, laugh at his jokes more than I will. I don't know. But anyway, it didn't work out. He didn't stay with it. He just like a lot of other things, he doesn't stay with it. He loses interest in things pretty quickly. And only thing I need is for him to tell me, you know, because every time I see him being interested in something, I say, man, that's what he should be. That's what I'm going to work on him with. And then suddenly he loses interest in it, you know, like the computer. He's always on the computer doing this and doing that. I said, wow, maybe I can get him in school where he can learn about programming. You know, then all of a sudden, no, he lost interest in the computer. You know, I said, well, you know, and then he loses interest. And that's one of the things that is a problem. And then again, maybe as he grows old. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, no, that's an important point, because it's better for him to lose interest than to have no interest at all.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
So, I mean, it's a mindset. It's very small, but it's like, okay, he's not interested in this. How many things am I going to have to expose him to I find something he's actually more interested in? It's more about how interested is he? Is he going to stick with this?
Well, I don't know, but you know, so you've met kids like this in your travels and what you do. You've met them or something. There's something similar to what he. Okay.
And so, like, for example, there's this one kid, again, his mom is just like, what do I do? My kid just wants to sit around and play video games.
And, you know, she's from the generation where that's not productive. That's just kind of one of those mindless entertainment things that you do. Like, how can I get
it's
my
not mindless.
Focused? It's not. A lot of people still have that perception, though, especially from older generations. Yeah. But there's a lot of people who are now incorporating it into a skill set of how do you learn, because it provides kids a safe environment to learn. And there's different programs where, you know, they have, there's so much that kids can do with it, where they're teaching them how to, you know, play an hour a day on the video game to build computer skills. And kids just think they're playing a game. They don't even realize they're learning a skill set that's in demand. So a lot of it
I totally agree with you. And another thing about playing video games, it stimulates your brain, your mind. It helps your concept when you're playing those games. You know, it's like a brain game. You know, you're strengthening your thinking, your perception. You know, so it's a lot going for video games. It's, you know. You know, it's like exercise to your brain. You know, I mean, you're thinking, you're manipulating, you're trying to do this. So you're doing like things. Video games are, in some sense, beneficial, I think, to some kids, especially young kids. It gets them to thinking, gets their mind going.
I would say it depends on the game.
some
games are more engaging than others. But yeah, no, the hand-eye coordination and the strategy and the skill set and... Yeah, video games have evolved a long way.
Yeah. So do you have any solutions to some of the problems that kids may be going through who can't seem to make their mind up of what they want to be or do in life after high school or college?
A lot of it just goes to knowing that it's an ongoing conversation and keep trying new things. Like, I have a parent whose son wanted to be a professional soccer player. That's all he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, the probability of that happening is not real. And so she just started picking, she started doing the work for her son, actually. And she's like, okay, well, you injured yourself. We're going to go, you know, take you in to get some care. And, you know, let's go ahead and talk to him about his career, because even though it's a sports injury, it somewhat still relates to what you're interested in. And the mom got the conversation started about, well, tell me about your, you know, what do? Do you like it? You get to work with athletes. And I think some parents have a hard time with that because they feel like, well, why am I doing all the work for my child? But the kid is getting used to this new conversation and this dialect that they're not used to having. And especially, like, I've been told, like, a lot of the parents with sons, they're like, I have a hard time just getting my son to turn in his homework on time, let alone having him pick a career. Like, can you just help me get him, get some ambition or motivation? Can you just help me do something to get him going? And a lot of it is they're just so influenced by their peer group that you have to get them into a program that they think is cool, that they're, you know, that they look forward to other people who are successful. They want to hang out with them. Mm-hmm. They want to engage with them and just start hiring those conversations and taking a different direction. It's slow to get going, but it kind of picks up the pace after a while.
Wow. Wow. Thanks for being on the show. You were great. Have you written about this? Do you have a book?
I have a website, which is careerconversationalist.com, and I just created a virtual master class to go into more depth about the influence of peer pressure and how that makes a difference in your child willing to learn. Because a lot of times your child, like, their social life is their big thing. They don't want to look dumb or they're afraid to make a mistake. And that's why they'd rather be like, yeah, nah, I don't know, we'll see. It's because they don't want to look dumb in front of their peers. But that master class that I just created is at careerconversationalist.com/register.
Okay, folks, you hear that out there? Are you planning on writing a book on this? Because this is very interesting. I'm pretty sure a lot of people out there with children, they're probably going through the same things that I'm going through or that you've gone through or that you've experienced with some kids who actually don't know their career paths. They don't have a clue.
Yes, I am planning on writing a book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. Crystal. Yeah. All right. That's great. That's wonderful. And when you do write the book, make sure you let me know, because I'm going to be the first one in line to buy it. Because like I said before, I'm experiencing a lot of those things myself. So author Crystal, can you say your last name? Because I don't want to mess it up.
Olivaria.
Olivaria. All right. Thanks for being on the show. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you a link of this show. So if you want to, you can put it up on your website. The people that you're helping and seeking to try to, because you're a coach and a lot of people are going to be, I figure contacting you. So you can put this up on your website and they can come by and hear you on this show as we talk about this. All right. I'll send you the link in about maybe 4 or 5 hours until after the show is produced. All right.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I would love to have you back. Okay. You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. You too. Bye.
No, bye. All righty. That was Crystal Avilera and commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was interesting. I mean, I would think a lot of people who with children would have kids who don't know what they want to be in life. They don't have a clue about a career or anything like that as they're going to high school or college. And I would think this is would be right up their alley. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. They're talking about Trump. This guy didn't given classified information to the Russians, but now they're saying that it's probably okay. I don't know.
New videos every day.
Hi, this is Dr. Vince Balanzi. I want to talk to you about anti-aging. Now, we really don't have control of time. We can't turn the clock back. The years will pass. But do you know that...
Next on the to-do list, when we take over the DNC.
Oh, Michael.
Ashley.
My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. And I want to say hello to Independence Avenue in the back, all the way down to 17th Street.
Wow.
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes, but yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair? it is hard to look at your own entitlement and privilege. You may be afraid of the truth. I am unafraid to be honest. It may sound petty, bringing up a few extra cents. It adds up to the pile of change I have yet to see in my country. I can't see. My eyes are too busy praying to my feet, hoping you don't mistake eye contact for wanting physical contact. Half my life, I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty, like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Condoleezza, Sonia, Malala, Michelle, Hillary. And our pussies ain't for grabbing. Therefore, reminding you that our walls are stronger than America's ever will be. Our pussies are for our pleasure. They are for birthing new generations of filthy, vulgar, nasty, proud Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh, you name it, for new generations of nasty women. So if you, a nasty woman, or you love one who is, let me hear you say, hell yeah.
All right, Ashley Judd, thank you for that. That's Ashley Judd, the actress. Yeah, the actress. I think that's her best role ever. I think she should have got an Oscar for that. That was doing the back in January, the march on the women's march protesting Donald Trump's election and all that kind of stuff way back in January 2017. But I always keep it on the show. I keep her on the show because it's one of the greatest things I've heard her say. Even though I've been watching a lot of her movies, that's nothing like her movie. I think she's just a talented, great and woman. All right, a lot of people have been calling the show. Let's see what they've been saying. They want me to play this clip that how to stay young. How to stay young. Okay, here we go. We're going to do this for a little bit.
Okay. Premature aging. Let's first get a dose of reality here. we're all going to die. That's a fact. And most of us are going to grow old before we die. So how and when we die, we may not have much control over that, but we do have a lot of control over the area of aging, how we age. And what is happening today with a lot of people is that they're aging prematurely. They're developing degenerative diseases that, for example, like arthritis, like diabetes 2, like cardiovascular disease, all these things are avoidable and people are developing these. Usually it begins in your mid-40s and then aging happens rapidly and not in a very graceful manner. So, first of all, you got to ask yourself, well, how do you want to age? Because you do have a choice.
New videos every day.
Hi, this is Dr. Vince Balanzi. I want to talk to you about anti-aging. Now, we really don't have control of time. We can't turn the clock back. The years will pass. But do you know that so many things are blamed on age? It's not true. Let me give you an example. I was getting ready to run the Boston Marathon. And as we were all lining up in the areas of by time, we're walking up and there's a group of us. And there's this cute little old lady walking there. And we're just all amazed, all of us. There's several of us gathered around her. We come to find out it's her 80th birthday. She's about to run a marathon. And we're thinking just how amazing that is. And then we realize that there were other people that had fairly number of years had passed. And as we walked up and lined up, she happened to line up with me. Now, I thought I had a pretty good time, but here's this 80-year-old on her birthday going to run a marathon. She's going to run 26 miles. Well, I don't know if I beat her or not, but I do know that she was quite capable of doing it, and I have no doubt that she finished the race. That's what all of us should be capable of. There's no reason why at 80 years old you couldn't do that if you kept yourself in condition. So when I talk about anti-aging, I'm talking about not allowing the body to lose its function. That's really what it comes down to. It's not really the passage of time. Your body does not wear out. It regenerates itself. We know that the entire body can regenerate itself in a year. The liver and the lining of your stomach regenerate in days. So that with this turnover of cells, with this ability to regenerate, it's not like a lawnmower. Your body can maintain a reserve. Now, what do I mean by a reserve? When you're younger, you have this huge reserve, right? You can eat dirt. You can roll on the floor. You can fall down. It doesn't seem to faze you. We've got a big reserve. Your body regenerates easily. You're not hurt very easily. It's really hard for your body to get sick. It's because everything's working well. Well, as time passes, and especially if you don't take care, you lose that reserve. Then you start having symptoms, symptoms that we want to blame on aging, but it's not aging. In a sense, it's neglect. If your joints hurt, if you've got all these allergies, if you've got a number of diseases, if you're stuck with a bunch of labels, most of them are a result of your lifestyle, if not all of them. So you want to maintain that reserve. When we talk about anti-aging, we're talking about exerting that control, not letting that reserve disappear. We use several what are called biomarkers to determine how old you are. And it's different from using the number of years that have passed. We can look at lab work. We can look at how the body's operating. You can actually have a younger biological age than you have a physical or chronological age. So with a little bit of care, you can, in a sense, anti-age. Because if you keep your body healthy, if you work within the parameters the body can work with, if you keep it functional, you can keep it young. You can be that 80-year-old woman lining up to run a 26-mile race. Now, not that you necessarily want to run a marathon when you're 26 years old, but what if you could? What if you had the ability to run that far in a reasonable amount of time when you were over 80 years old? That's a possibility for everybody. Again, we want to blame things on age. It's not aging. Arthritis. Everybody wants to say when they get old, their joints hurt because of age. It's not age. It's the fact that the immune system is probably dysfunctional. There's a lot of swelling in the joints because of that. Perhaps there's been some damage to the joints and they weren't rehabbed correctly. You know, most people that think that they can't participate in some kind of activity can if they're conditioned. It's the weekend warrior that tears his knees apart. It's not the conditioned runner. And I don't care how old the runner is, proper conditioning. It's about stability in the joints. It's about keeping that immune system functional. It's not the number of years. It's the abuse. The neat part of it is that you can turn that around with some care, with some conditioning, with proper lifestyle. You can beat aging. You can not only live longer, but it's really more about the quality of your life. So when we talk about anti-aging, we can get into bioidentical hormones, which we work with a lot. We can get into neurotransmitters. We can get into exercise. We can get into all the things that I'm talking about as far as conditioning. And that's how you accomplish anti-aging. We'll take hormones, for example. Growth hormone. It's considered the anti-aging hormone. Most clinics that do anti-aging will look at growth hormone and supplement it if necessary. And most of the time, it is necessary. Your body's supposed to be able to make growth hormone until the day you die. It has the capacity to do so. But most of us, with time, decline in our production of it. So if you take the growth hormone from the outside in the right way, you can actually enhance your own production again. You know the other times that you make growth hormone? A good night's sleep, getting to that third stage of sleep. So get your sleep. You will make yourself some more anti-aging hormone. The other time is during intense exercise. Not so intense that you can't do it, but more intense than a walk to the mailbox. So exercise and sleep, and you'll make some growth hormone, and you'll be doing anti-aging. Now, in our clinic, we test levels of other hormones. We try to get the ratios correct. And we do, in a sense, practice anti-aging that way. Because if we can balance your hormones, not necessarily taking them back to levels you had when you were in your 20s, but just getting them balanced and enough there to do the job, you, in a sense, are anti-aging. You are stopping the process that we attribute to aging. Again, it's really a process of allowing the body to become dysfunctional. So you can practice anti-aging yourself. You can go to an anti-aging clinic, but it's really about how you treat your genetics and not the amount of time that they've been here. So please, if you want to learn more about anti-aging, you can go to our website, bewellrx.com. You can contact an anti-aging clinic where they can do some therapies. But it's not that there's a magic pill that will make you young. You're going to make yourself young by taking care of yourself. Have you ever noticed when you're active, when you get some exercise in, when you're eating right, you just feel better? That's what anti-aging can come down to. Getting the nutrients in, making the body functional, and making your biological age younger than your chronological age. So again, when we talk about anti-aging, we're really talking about building a reserve. I'm going to talk a little bit more about organ reserve because that's really the secret to anti-aging. If you have organ reserve, you tend not to have as many symptoms because your body takes a stress and you don't have a problem because of it. Let me give you an example. Somebody says a crossword to you. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your boss, and you get a headache or you have to go lie down. That's not normal. You shouldn't be bedridden because somebody stressed you a bit. What's a normal reaction? You get the same stimulus and your response is just to let it roll off your back. That's a normal response. You can have that if you've got a reserve. Your body should not go into an alarm stage because of a small stress, even a large stress. When you're younger, you can usually handle stress better. A lot of people believe they're invincible. And then they come to think that their mortality has caught up with them as they age. The truth is their body's not as functional. They have less reserve. We work on building that reserve. But again, I've given you some ideas on how you can do that. Look at your diet. Are you eating things that allow your body to function better so that you have that reserve? So a little bit of stress can be contended with and not cause symptoms. Are you exercising? Because without activity, the body's not even going to make some of the things it takes to build that reserve. If you're not operating your body and allowing it to maintain the reserve and, in a sense, anti-age, then you're going to feel the effects of what you're calling aging. So you want to build that reserve through your lifestyle. The better you take care of yourself, the younger you will feel, and you will be biologically younger as well. That's anti-aging. Bioidentical hormones, to some extent, are helpful. We talk about bioidentical hormones, it's no big secret. We're just trying to use something that's closer to what the body knows as a hormone. Rather than taking hormones from another animal's gland, we're trying to use things that more resemble what's in the body. That's all bioidentical hormones are. We also, when we're using the treatment of bioidentical hormones, we want to look at ratios, because if I adjust one hormone, I have adjusted every hormone. So if I'm not aware of the ratios, if I'm not aware of how I'm pushing another hormone by adding one, then I could get into more trouble than there was originally. So in doing bioidentical hormones, you want to make sure that you're addressing the right hormones and creating the right ratios so the body can function. That's it. It's no big secret. It's no problem that can't be surmounted. But the use of hormone balancing and perhaps neurotransmitter balancing, if we can look at how the body's operating and help it to operate better, improve function, you've accomplished anti-aging. So it's no best kept secret. It's not hard to do. A lot of it is what you do for yourself. But anti-aging is something that you certainly should practice, because it's no fun.
I All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. All right, I'm pretty sure everybody heard about this ransomware attack, you know, this hacking of computers and corporations and businesses, hospitals, you know, all around the world. 150 countries have been attacked with this ransomware. And if you don't know what it is, it's simply hackers somewhere in the world holding your computer hostage, holding all your documents and files hostage until you pay them. And I'm hearing that it's more than 150 countries that are affected by this. And you know what? It works. I mean, if you're a hospital worker and your computers have been held hostage and you need all that, those files, those patient files in your hospital, you know, I mean, you're going to pay them. Most people pay them. This is a $1 trillion industry that these hackers are doing, holding computers hostage. And there's so many people that I know are now updating their computers with the latest software. But nothing is foolproof. But hey, it's better that you have antivirus hacking kinds of software than not to have it. Okay. All right. That ransomware, you know, and I'm also hearing that a lot of the hackers, they're hacking Hollywood. They're holding movies that just came out hostage. If you want to see that movie, then you're gonna have to pay a ransom. This is crazy. These people are just hacking their asses off, and the United States and the rest of the world can't seem to do anything about it but let these people get away. But they're saying, well, we don't know where they are. They're somewhere in the world. Give me a break. Find these jackasses and arrest them. You know, this is crazy. And I'm hearing that the material that you need to do this ransomware thing, to hold a computer for ransom, you can buy this stuff on the web for a few dollars on the penny. It's available on the web where you can buy this stuff and you can hold a computer, an organization, an institution, hostage. And say, if you want those files, those needed files, you're going to have to pay us. Something has to be done. Something has to be done about this, folks. I mean, this ransomware, it scares the hell out of a lot of us. I've known people who say that their computers were compromised and somehow they took it to the, get it fixed or whatever. And it's not that easy to get a computer fixed when there's a virus on it. You just have to be careful. If you want to keep your computer from getting one of these viruses, be careful not to click on an email that you do not know. Do not click on a link or any link that you don't know. That's one of the things about me. I see something that I don't know anything about it. I click off of it. I don't even click on it because it's out here. And once you click on one of those links to ransomware, you're done. Your computer is being held hostage. You need your files. You need to do your work. Your company or your business is going to go under unless you get those files. You have no choice but to pay these crooks. So watch what you click on. Watch these links. If you don't know something, if something comes in your email or you see a lot of links around that you know nothing about, do not click on them. Okay, I've learned that lesson myself. You know, and we all learn lessons because the scoundrels, the crooks, the hackers, they are out here and they are out to get your money any way necessary. And these hackers, they are more sophisticated than ever. That's why I say there's no foolproof way, but we can always try to do the best we can in protecting what we have, especially if it pertains to our businesses and our companies and our patients and our customers. We have to do something. This ransomware is very, very scary. And I'm hoping they get somebody somewhere in the world, find out what's going on and arrest these guys and stop this computer hacking. And if you don't have virus software on your computer, make sure you put it on your computer. Virus software. And I think Microsoft is doing something. I think you can go to Microsoft and download something, download some sort of software that will protect your computer against ransomware, because the majority of the computers in the United States, they are running on Microsoft. Microsoft this, Microsoft that, Microsoft Word, Microsoft 365. Microsoft is the company, the organization that is doing all the updates on your computer. So if Microsoft is doing an update on your computer, be patient. It's for your computer and for your safety, if your computer's safety, okay? So this ransomware, folks, it's very, very serious. It's not a joke. These people are out here wanting to get into your computer. And in some cases, a lot of cases, they are. All right, North Korea threat. North Korea, they just love to blast off these missiles, fire these missiles. I'm hearing that they probably got some sort of missile that can hit the United States. I don't know. This Kim, whatever his name, Kim Jong-un, whatever. I mean, this guy is a nut. He is crazy. He should not be... He's a dictator. He's an emperor. He's a king. I could live under that guy. That's who Donald Trump wants to be like, probably. Anyway, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank my guests for being on the show, Crystal. She was great. And I'm hoping one day she can come back and we can talk again about the things that she does. And hopefully she'll have a book this time. Maybe, maybe not. But she was... a nice person. All righty. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. We've been talking about Donald Trump ransomware. We've been talking about if your kid is not motivated or doesn't have much ambition. And we've been talking about North Korea. And we've just been having fun on the show. And I love it when I have fun. It's great. It's wonderful. It is 7:26 p.m. Chicago time in Chicago. It's the weather. Wow. The weather is beautiful. The weather is wonderful. It's summer, folks. Where was spring? It's summer. But hey, you can't argue. I mean, you really can't argue with it. It's been beautiful. It's been wonderful. It's been great. And we're just about off the air. I think we've got about 4 more minutes left into the show. And let's see what do we have here. Ransomware. Okay. I'm still kind of taken back on Donald Trump. I mean, this guy is, they're saying that they're still saying all over the place. Everywhere I go, it says on the campaign trail, Donald Trump, he is very worried about revealing America's secrets that he already has revealed from allegedly from these headlines on the from the New York Times, the Washington Post, The Hill, USA, they're all saying the same thing. Donald Trump revealed America's secrets to the Russians last week. Obviously, Donald Trump and the and his minions are saying it's not true. You know, it's something else. I mean, with Donald Trump, you never know what the hell's going on. Something's always going on with Donald Trump. It's just mind-boggling.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help us all.
Get yourself ready for tomorrow. No, I don't have a venture in here, so. Fun idea, but no, it's in the other place. Okay, I'll give it to you later.